how is Champaign County government going to change with a county executive at the head?
Well, a county executive represents a transition to a much more traditional sort of small-R Republican form of government, much more akin to what we see at the state and federal levels, where you have a legislative policy-making body. That will be the county board. But you have a separate executive branch that handles day-to-day operations and the administration of government. And that will be the county executive's departments and the independent elected officials in the other departments. And it's going to have to be a collaborative relationship, just as it needs to be at the state and federal level. But it represents a much cleaner sort of division of authority than what we have now, where the county board is much more of a parliamentary body, and it elects its own executive in the form of a board chair who exercises some executive authority, but in reality is elected by their constituents from a district to be a policymaker.
The county executive will be elected by the voters, so you are Darlene will carry a different sort of authority going in.
I believe so. We will be elected countywide, not from districts that were drawn by the county board. We will be serving a four-year term, and we will be, as you said, answerable directly to all of the voters of Champaign County and not just a small subset of them. And so I think we will bring a different perspective, a different level of political capital, maybe a different level of visibility for a county government that has had at times issues demonstrating relevance, particularly to the folks who live in the cities.
And is it sort of like going from the sort of government, the council manager government that Champaign has, where the mayor mostly chairs the city council but doesn't run the city, to what Urbana has, where the mayor has more executive power?
That's a comparison, but it's not precise. Another comparison, which is also not precise, would be examining the differences between sort of the British parliamentary form of government, where the British Parliament elects one of its own members to be prime minister, and then that prime minister has both executive and legislative authority to wield, versus the sort of traditional American Republican form of government where we have three separate branches with a judicial, a legislative, and an executive branch.
I think there are a couple of counties in Illinois where the county board chair is elected by the voters, but the county board chair, essentially the county executive, has powers that the county board chair does not.
The county executive has a handful of powers that the county board, that a countywide elected county board chair does not have. Maybe most notably the ability to veto resolutions and ordinances that are passed by the county board, and those vetoes can of course be overridden by a supermajority of the board if they desire.
But will you be, say, setting up agendas, proposing budgets, doing anything like that?
Statute does give the county executive the authority to propose the budget that will be considered by the county board on an annual basis. Of course, such a budget must be approved and could potentially be changed by the county board, so that's an area where there will need to be collaboration and negotiation. And I think in terms of the setting of the agendas for the county board meetings, given that the executive is going to preside at the meetings, but that policymaking responsibility will remain with the board, I believe there should be some collaboration there in terms of setting agendas and schedules and those sorts of things.
And in the meantime, the county executive will essentially have day-to-day management authority over those parts of county government that aren't overseen by other county-wide elected officials?
Correct.
What parts of county government does that include? What do people see that the executive would be in charge of?
The highway department, the IT department, planning and zoning, the Veterans Assistance Commission are some of the higher profile departments. The supervisor of assessments would be indirectly reporting to the county executive, appointed by the county executive, confirmed by the board, and would run their own department.
What questions are you getting from voters about this new office?
Primarily, why was it necessary? And I think it's necessary because the county board has for decades, under the leadership of both parties, sort of struggled to make decisions in a common sense, forward-thinking way, and instead would constantly find themselves riven by partisanship and by infighting to the point where, you know, we were unable to maintain our facilities. We allowed the county nursing home to flounder to the point of near bankruptcy, as was demonstrated by last night's testimony at the Health Facilities Planning Board. our infrastructure in terms of our technology that runs our county property tax cycle, and our accounting system is now 40 years old and dependent upon one employee who someday would like to retire. And the county board's ineffectiveness and unwillingness to make the sorts of decisions that any well-managed government would make are what brought this effort to change to a county executive form of government.
So how do you see yourself working with the county board? It's going to be essentially the same county board, but now they'll have to adjust to this new office. What do you think the dynamic will be?
Well, I'm fortunate that my 8 years as county clerk have given me a very close relationship with the county board. I've got fantastic relationships with members of both political parties. We also have a relatively unique opportunity because so many county board members are not coming back. So while the form of the county board will remain somewhat intact, the actual individual members are, for the large part, going to be brand new to the county board at the same time that they are brand new to this county executive form of government. So I think that we can work through the issues that we're going to encounter together and sort of learn and grow into this new form of government collaboratively.
What's the role of the county board chair in this sort of setup? And perhaps it will be called something else. In Will County, it's called the speaker. But whatever that is, what is the chair going to do, since it will not be presiding over the meeting?
My position is that the county executive form of government does not allow for the county board chair position to continue to exist. There will be a leader of the county board. And the title for that position, I think, is still yet to be determined. I think there are some folks on the county board who would still like to have a county board chair because they are sort of resistant to this change to the county executive form of government. But the county board leader moving forward will be essentially that. They will be a parliamentary slash policymaking slash legislative leader for that body, and they will have a hand in agenda preparation and working with county board members to make sure that the agenda process and the meeting process is addressing the priorities of the board members.
These things sort of have to be determined and decided at some point in the future. I mean, I understand there are some there are some discussions at the county board level for preparing for the new office. When does all this happen?
I believe that these sorts of decisions should be made as a result of a discussion and a negotiation between the county executive and the new county board. Of course, we don't have a county executive yet, so Darlene's priorities may be slightly different than mine. And should she win the election, she should have the right to meet with the county board leadership and try to figure out where this line of authority is going to fall between the executive and the board. And should I be elected executive, I look forward to meeting with the board leadership immediately after the election to begin those conversations.
How do you think all this affects, say, any statutory assignments for the office of the county board chair, like, say, serving on the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District Board?
I think some of those decisions are yet to be determined. In Will County, I believe the county executive holds the seats that statute would traditionally say go to a county board chair, because in Will County, of course, they don't have a county board chair. They have a speaker of the board.
Okay, and sometimes it just sounds like a matter of the name. If the county board speaker was still called a chair in Will County, that person might be carrying on some of those chair duties, even if they weren't presiding over board meetings.
Perhaps. I think the county board chair would lend itself to a lot of confusion, statutory confusion, if the county board chair position were to continue to exist under the county executive form of government, which is one of the reasons why I think the county board chair position under statute goes away. A lot of the responsibilities will remain with a leader of the board, but the actual formal title of county board chair goes away under the county executive form of government.
Is this an office that you feel that voters were looking for?
I do. There is an incredible amount of frustration with the performance of the county board in recent years, particularly in the outlying areas where folks depend on county government a little bit more heavily than they do in the cities.
And where they're also represented by the minority party on the board, right?
Well, in some cases they're represented by the minority party, but there are also, you'll find in very progressive circles in the cities where they are represented by the majority party on the county board, considerable amounts of frustration with some planning and zoning issues, with redistricting, and most particularly with the justice system in Champaign County.
And In addressing those issues, what do you feel sets you apart from your opponent? What's your approach going to be that's different from what Darlene Klepel says she would do?
Well, my approach is going to focus on working very closely with the county board to make sure that the county board's priorities are addressed in a way that also addresses my priorities. And my priorities are the financial management of Champaign County, repairing the damage most particularly that's been done to us by the county nursing home over the years, economic development and Champaign County's role as a regional leader in economic development, and independent redistricting moving forward. And my 8 years of experience as Champaign County Clerk have given me the experience that I need in terms of day-to-day administrative operations, in terms of leading employees and using technology to do things more effectively and efficiently, and in terms of providing services to our customers, the taxpayers of Champaign County, in a way that is as cost-effective as possible and yet still takes advantage of all of the technological tools that we have to constantly look for ways to provide more services at a lower cost.
And continuing on the financial management area, one thing I was wondering with the pending sale of the county nursing home, that will still leave some debt with the county. How long before the county gets out from under that debt?
Oh, it'll be years. To give you some examples, the nursing home has not for years made its own pension payments. The county general corporate fund has made its pension payments for nursing home employees. The county nursing home has not made its own sort of tort liability payments, so that when there's an issue at the nursing home and a settlement needs to be paid because of something that happened there, the county general corporate fund absorbed those costs. The $11 million sale price for the home was the minimum asking price, and in fact, we only had the one bidder, and so we are sort of forced to accept it. But it's not nearly enough to make county government whole for the damage that has been done by the nursing home over the years.
So when we're talking about years, are we talking, you know, half a decade, a decade? What do we?
I expect that a significant amount of the first term that I spend as county executive will be re-examining county financial operations and reconfiguring them to try and repair the damage that's been done by the nursing home over the years and get us on a more modern, nimble footing so that we can do the things that we need to do in terms of improving our technology and taking care of our facilities and providing the services that we need to provide to the citizens of Champaign County.
What ultimately should happen to the taxes that were created to help fund the county nursing home once those debts are paid off?
The property tax levy that exists now to pay the bonds that were used to build the building will be retired. And so residents of Champaign County will actually see a slight reduction, I believe, in their property tax rate starting next year because we no longer have to pay off the bonds for the building. The levy for the operating subsidy to pay for operations at the nursing home will be rolled into the general corporate fund levy starting with this year's budget, again, in an attempt to try to begin to repair some of the damage the nursing home has done to county finances over the years.
Let me talk about economic development and what role you want to see the county playing there. What role has the county been playing there up to now?
The county plays almost no role right now in economic development. Essentially, we write a check to the County Economic Development Corporation, and we write a check to the Convention and Visitors Bureau as part of our annual contribution to their efforts, and that's it. And I think that Champaign County is uniquely situated regionally to be a leader for economic development for everything from Kankakee to Mattoon and Danville to Bloomington and Decatur. And I think the county executive's new position and high-profile role will give us an opportunity to cheerlead for our region in a way that's not been done before.
Not just the county, but you're saying essentially Central Illinois.
I'm essentially saying this part of Central Illinois, yes. The city of Champaign, city of Urbana, the University of Illinois do an incredibly good job of economic development for their municipalities, for their units of government. But there isn't anyone right now who sort of looks regionally at economic development and can stand up and advocate for us and sell the incredible assets that we have here in terms of infrastructure, in terms of our human resources, in terms of our natural resources. And I think we've really missed the ball in the last 20 or 25 years.
Have you talked with officials in other counties? Are they looking for this sort of leadership? Does does Champaign County have enough in common with, say, a much more lightly populated county like Iroquois that they can have common purposes?
I've not spoken with Iroquois County, but I have spoken with officials in other counties, and yes, folks do look in this part of the state at Champaign County for a leadership role to be played in that. And it's not necessarily how much we have in common with those neighboring jurisdictions, but we should have a mindset that if there is a significant employer opportunity in Piatt County, we should, as Champaign County government, be involved and encourage that, because folks from Champaign County can work there and travel there. And in fact, we have a lot of employees of State Farm and of ADM who commute back and forth to those employers from Champaign County. And regional job growth and regional economic development is not only good for Champaign County, but good for the entire area.
You also talked about redistricting and redrawing the districts of the county board district map for its 22 members is something that's definitely going to be coming up during the executive's first term. What role would you want to play in that?
Well, statute gives the executive responsibility for presenting to the county board the first map, the first redistricting plan for the board to consider and vote upon. And I intend to use that statutory authority to create an independent redistricting commission that will draw boundaries without regard to partisanship, and use that commission's recommended map as the map that I will recommend to the county board in 2021 when we consider redistricting. And I also intend to use the political capital that I hopefully will have as county executive to push the board to adopt a map that does not benefit unfairly one party over the other.
I would think that any time a member of any party says that they want to draw a nonpartisan map, members of other parties would be suspicious. So how do you work past that?
Well, I understand the suspicion, but we also have right here at the University of Illinois some of the nation's leading researchers on redistricting, and especially the analysis of maps and how to separate redistricting plans from the partisanship. And I intend to work as closely as I can with those researchers and the resources that we have at the University of Illinois and see if we can encourage them to participate in our redistricting process so that they can make a recommendation to us that we will then present to the board unaltered. And hopefully that transparency of the process will overcome some of the inevitable cynicism that we will see.
And the presence of the county executive's office, how does that change everything compared to, say, like 10 years ago?
Well, the county executive also has veto power. And so if one party has a narrow majority on the county board, it's impossible for that one party to pass a map to benefit only itself if the county executive says, I'm going to veto a gerrymandered map. And my pledge throughout my campaign has been that I will veto a gerrymandered map that is drawn to benefit the extremes of either party.
Let's talk a little bit about the county jail, and that seems like an issue that's going to come up during the county executive's term. What with the problems facing the downtown sheriff's office and jail right now, what do you think the county government should be preparing to do?
I support abandoning the downtown jail and the downtown sheriff's office and relocating them to an expanded satellite jail. There are a lot of details that need to be worked out in such a plan, including how are we going to pay for it without raising taxes. I do think that there is some current utility to the downtown jail, especially for those inmates who have mental health needs or substance abuse needs or are potentially violent and need to be segregated. I do think we can expand the satellite jail and add fewer beds than we would be losing at the downtown jail. And I appreciate right now there is a lot of suspicion about jail building plans. And I think that we can do this in a way that engages our community in a constructive way so that we can move forward with a plan at the satellite jail that provides constitutionally appropriate jail services for the folks that need it, while also attempting to do the things that I think there is a consensus now that we need to do in terms of addressing the mental health and substance abuse issues that are impacting so much of our criminal justice system.
Let me go back to that phrase, constitutionally appropriate. What are you driving at there?
That's actually a phrase that I borrow from the sheriff. And constitutionally appropriate to me means that if someone needs to be in a smaller unit of cells in order to keep themselves safe or keep someone else safe or because they have mental health or substance abuse issues, right now we don't have the capability of doing that at the satellite jail without taking an entire wing, an entire block of 16 cells out of commission. The downtown jail has much smaller units and allows the sheriff to segregate prisoners in a way to keep those prisoners safe and to keep others safe. Satellite jail does not give us that opportunity.
And so you're talking about any expansion of the jail would have an appropriate layout to make those things possible.
Correct. And I think it needs to be a flexible enough layout that if we have folks who are with us because they have a mental health problem or because they're dealing with a substance abuse issue, that we can deal with them in a way that doesn't necessarily result in them being, you know, sort of quote-unquote incarcerated, but in a way that we can work with area resources to try to get them treatment while they are with us. Because having someone who is in our jail because they have a mental health problem or a substance abuse problem is terrible for them. It's an incredible liability risk for the county. And it doesn't do anyone any good in terms of consuming the resources that we have for our criminal justice system. There's a better way to take care of those folks.
And this seems to come over to the issue, which seems to have brought about a stalemate on the county board. How does having the executive change things so that action can be taken?
Well, I think the county executive is going to have a unique role in county government. And the fact that they are elected countywide is going to provide them with some capital that they can work with individual county board members and try to put together coalitions that may be ever-changing from issue to issue. And I was very involved, for example, in the negotiations the county board had in terms of selling the nursing home. And I was very proud to be a part of the effort to try to put together a 15-vote supermajority on a very divided county board in order to support the sale of the nursing home. So I have a track record of being able to meet with individual county board members, address their priorities, and try to get agreement on contentious issues so that we can all move forward.
Your opponent, Darlene Kleppel, believes that selling the real estate of the downtown Urbana Jail and Sheriff's Complex could raise money that could help pay for the work on the satellite jail.
It potentially is a valuable site in terms of the real estate that location sits on. I believe the city of Urbana may be interested in having a private development there rather than seeing it continue to be maintained owned by a public entity where it doesn't generate any revenue for the property taxing districts. But I think before we come to a decision about what we're going to do with the downtown jail grounds, we need to have some consensus around the plan for what's going to happen with the satellite jail.
So that's the first thing, is figuring out what's going to be built, if anything.
Yes.
Okay. Are there any other infrastructure needs that you feel the county has to address over the next few years?
Oh, the biggest infrastructure needs the county has to address are our technology infrastructure. Last week, we issued an RFP for software to run our property tax cycle. We have currently a 40-year-old piece of software on an AS400 platform programmed by one county employee that runs the entire property tax cycle software for every taxing district in Champaign County. Everyone who collects property taxes in Champaign County depends on this piece of software. And the fact that we have one person in charge of programming it means it's incredibly vulnerable. So that's the first significant upgrade that we need to do in terms of our technology infrastructure. Immediately following that, we need to take a look at all of our accounting and financial software and implement a modern ERP, enterprise resource platform software, to handle all of the accounting and finance and personnel needs of Champaign County, so that we can finally in 2018 begin to take advantage of some of these efficiencies that technologies have allowed private sector companies and other units of government to take advantage of for years.
What sort of expense do you imagine this amounting to?
The property tax cycle software, the initial cost is somewhere in the $200,000 range, and then the annual cost will be maybe around half that. The enterprise resource platform software, the ERP, will be significantly more expensive, but we have not gone yet to begin crafting the RFP for that.
these are smaller amounts in building a building, but are these things which have been put off for a long time?
Put off for decades.
Why?
One is the county board's sort of structural inability to make any significant decisions. Two, because the county has, for the last 20 years, spent every available dime that it had in terms of surplus and a lot of its mental energy and attention on trying to keep the Champaign County Nursing Home afloat. The Champaign County Nursing Home, if it were a private enterprise, would have closed 10 years ago, would have gone bankrupt 10 years ago. It came near to closing earlier this year because we were unable to make payments to critical vendors and we were worried critical vendors were going to walk away. And if you talk to the county auditor or the county treasurer or the county administrator, they spend a significant amount of their time now just managing the cash and the cash that comes in and which vendors are we going to pay. And we have vendors who have been waiting since late in 2016 for payments for services that they've already provided to the Champaign County Nursing Home. So that's one of the big reasons why these sorts of decisions have never been made.
With a county executive, what do you see happening to the administration of the county in terms of staff? Is it going to be the same size? Is it going to be bigger or smaller? Is there going to be a county administrator or something in the place of the county administrator?
Well, as county clerk, I've been county clerk for 8 years. We now do significantly more in terms of the county clerk's office than when I started, and we do it with 1 3/4 fewer people than we had when I started. So we have a track record of using technology to provide a higher level of service to the taxpayers of Champaign County with fewer employees. And we did that not by laying people off, but by making improvements, and as folks retire or find opportunities elsewhere, we just don't replace them. And I think the same philosophy can be applied to the executive's office. The county executive is going to inherit right now all of the departments that currently report to the county administrator, including the county administrator. And there will be opportunities immediately to reorganize and look for efficiencies because that fresh perspective has not been taken for Champaign County in terms of its administrative roles in a long, long time.
Now it's my turn to talk.
This show sponsored by Allegra and Aleve.
So it's too early to say exactly what will happen, but you think you can run the county without making the administration any bigger, even though there are certain positions that will come with a county executive staff that don't exist today?
The commitment that I've made is that the county executive staff in aggregate will cost less at the end of my four-year term than it did the year before I take office.
Okay, even though there'll be some things, like I understand that the county executive would have its own legal counsel, for instance.
The county executive can have its own legal counsel, but I'm fortunate to have an excellent relationship with our state's attorney, Julie Reitz, and her office. And I'm optimistic that the advice that they provide to the county executive will be sufficient to meet the legal needs of our department.
It's going to be, I gather, a more visible office, more visible than the county clerk and more visible than the county board chair in some ways, certainly more visible than the county administrator. So whoever gets elected is going to be a more familiar face to the public than other leaders of county government.
I think so. I view the executive's role in terms of the public relations of county government sort of being like the mayor of Champaign County. And so the enormous amount of visibility that you see from a mayor Deb Finan or a mayor Diane Marlin, I think you will also expect and should expect from your county executive countywide.
Well, Gordy Holton, thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you.